Hi, I'm Steve Todd, and you're listening to Musicians FAQ, a radio program focused on learning more about the musicians that are entertaining you around Waterloo Region. We're featuring your favorite local singer, guitar player, or drummer, learning how they got started, influences, funny stories about past gigs, and upcoming performances. You'll also hear some great recordings of their work. In addition, we'll be learning about others in the music industry that are helping to maintain a vibrant music scene. This is Musicians FAQ. All right, so I'm sitting here with Earl and Greg Fries on 102.7 CKMS. Thanks a lot for being a part of Musicians FAQ.
You're more than welcome. Great to be. Glad you can do it.
All right, thanks. So why don't we start with Earl? Maybe I'll just ask you where you're from and how you got started with music.
Well, I'm from Bridgeport. I'm one of the Bridgeport River Rats.
Okay.
Have you ever heard of that before?
The Bridgeport River Rats.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because of the Grand River being
The Grand River. Well, I remember there was a flood when I was around 5 years old, like in the mid-70s.
Yeah,
it was
lived, if you know the bridge in Bridgeport, when you go across the bridge, the first house on your left, that's where we lived.
Really? Okay.
And the water used to, when the flood would come, the water would come in the front door and out the back door.
Okay. Crazy. Yeah.
But as far as music goes, how I got interested in that, when I was a kid, I worked on this farm up in the Bloomingdale Road. And then when I sort of grew up, I was sort of like their son.
Okay.
So I used to spend my weekends and stuff out there. And they had a farm, and then they used to work another farm. And I used to drive by with the tractor, and I'd hear this music. I'd hear a steel guitar.
Okay.
And it sort of got to me. And one day I stopped, and I went in. I knocked at the door, and this guy come to the door. Gordy Affelt, you know Gordy?
Oh, yeah, yep. Well, I know Glenn now, and
yeah.
I used to know Larry many
or
years
Gordy
ago.
Gordy, his father. And he played steel guitar.
Wow, okay.
And so I was really interested in... I said, boy, I'd like to... I said, I sing a little bit, but I don't play an instrument. He said, why don't you buy a guitar and I'll teach you? So that's what I did.
Okay.
Went and bought a guitar.
Oh, okay, great.
And I spent my Saturdays and Sundays out at his place, and he taught me the major chords, and then I self-taught myself.
Good
for you. Bought a few books, you know, the lessons and stuff like that.
So you're just a teenager at this point then?
I was about 17 years old. Eh? And I was playing, and then I was out there at Gord's place, and one Sunday, Johnny Sisica come in. He used to have a group called the Westerners. They were a great group around town that played at the Bridgeport Casino, and that's where I lived, right across from the casino. So I used to be a check boy there.
Really? Okay.
And I used to... After the dances that were the next day, I'd go and sweep the floors.
Well, I didn't know there was a casino.
That's where the Gulf Steakhouse is.
Oh, okay.
That's the old casino.
Okay,
they used to have dances Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
Wow.
And I used to check coats when I was a young teenager.
And you just walk there from where you live then?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
they moved from where he said the water was coming in the back door.
Okay.
They moved up around the corner to higher ground.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
And it was right across from them.
Yeah,
I used to check boats. And Earl Haywood used to play there.
Okay, yep.
Grant's.
And his wife, what was her name?
Martha. Yep.
Earl and Martha used to play there. And I used to say to myself, one of these days I'm going to get a guitar and I'm going to try to do the same thing, because I used to just idolize them, the way they used to dress. Oh, they dressed fancy, I'll tell you that right now. I'm hauling grain and stuff and I hear this steel guitar, so I finally went in or knocked at the door, and Gord comes to the door and I explain what. He says, well, come on in. So I come in, I said, boy, I'd like to do this. He said, well, buy yourself a guitar and I'll teach you.
That's awesome.
And that's how I got started.
Yep.
Yeah. So, and then from there, well, I was at Gord's place, and Johnny Sisser come in. He had a group called the Westerners, and he had lost his singer. In fact, it was...
Earl Haywood.
Earl Haywood.
He was a singer.
Yeah, he was a singer, and his wife.
Oh. So they left the group?
Oh, to go off on their own?
Probably to go off
the road. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, they went off on their own. So
Johnny Siska asked you?
Happened to be out at Gord's place. Well, Gord says, well, if we're looking for... Gord was playing steel for him at that time.
Okay, yeah.
He said, if you're looking for a singer, I got a young guy. He said, he just started. He said, Johnny came out. He said, can you start next week?
Okay. And they had gigs booked and everything then, too?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's pressure.
Oh, yeah. We used to play in Princeton.
Yes, okay.
And George Matheson used to be... Well, we played out there.
What would be in Princeton? Because that's a really small community.
Well, it was the community center.
Okay.
Not the community center. It was an old building.
Okay.
Wood and stuff like that.
Yeah.
He bought it and turned it into a dance hall.
Okay.
George Matheson was
really?
The name. Okay. And he turned to be our manager. We were all over the place.
That's great.
We know who George Matheson is. He's the grandfather of the Walters family.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, all this great history.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's he was the father of the mother.
Okay.
And I forget their names now, the two.
Yeah.
Mom and Dad. The kids are all in the music.
Oh, yeah.
Is it Darren that's in the...
Darren
he's
Walters.
He's producing and all that stuff.
For sure.
But yeah, George was, he was the mother's father.
Okay, wow.
And he was our manager.
Okay.
He took, and that's, he got us in the TV.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. And we went down to Toronto and we won on Pick the Stars.
Okay.
I don't know if you remember
I don't remember that show. I remember a lot of the, I'm a Kitchener boy, so I remember all the CKCO type stuff. And, but not that, Pick the Stars.
But we won on Pick the
that's
Stars.
That's great, okay.
But then we had 13-week series on CKCO.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Silver Bar Ranch was
really
called.
Okay.
The time we were on TV, I guess I must have been about 28 or something.
Oh, okay,
like
so
when I first started.
At that point, you're a veteran. Then you're.
I was a veteran. Yeah.
We're back. Thanks a lot for listening to Musicians FAQ on 102.7 CKMS. You just heard Earl Freeze and his band, The Chaparrals, play the Buddy Holly song, All My Love, All My Kisses. And we're going to return to the conversation with Earl and Greg talking about the start of The Chaparrals.
Finally, I decided to go on the road. And so Carl Keyes.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah.
Fred Emerson was the drummer. I don't know if you know.
I don't
Fred.
Know that name, but
Fred Emerson.
Yeah,
he was our drummer. I said him and I were meant to be together because I wasn't a very good bass player and he wasn't a very good drummer, but we were both solid.
together, you're.
Oh, Freddie was funny.
Okay,
he was hilarious. The only person that didn't think he was funny was Gordy Tapp.
Yeah, that's right.
He did. Gordy Tapp didn't like him.
Oh, really?
Because Freddie was funnier.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember doing Elmira. Well, Fred and I used to do a comedy act. We had about three different skits.
Okay, yeah.
We do during the Mayday. But anyways, we're Gordy Tapp's up in Elmira at the Elmira Fair, and we're backing him up, which we did a few times. People were laughing and clapping and everything like that. Gordy thought it was for him, but Fred's in behind the drum corner.
Oh, yeah.
He could make his eyebrows go this way here, and he made crazy face. He had dumb hats. He had all kinds of, he had old bag beside him, all this crazy shit.
Yeah.
They were laughing at Freddie and not Gordy in that set.
Gordy said after that, the last time I'm hiring you guys.
Upstaged him.
So we went on the road together.
And that's when the Chaparral started.
Okay, yeah.
That's where I remember when I was a kid, he was auditioning guitar players at the house. So I remember as kids, we'd sit at the top of the stairs and we could just barely see down the stairs who was playing because he didn't want us down there when these guys were playing, to make them nervous. And I'll never forget Jock Westfall. You remember? You know Jack?
Well, I know Kevin.
Yeah, his dad.
Really? Okay.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. I'll never forget this as long as I live. He was one of the guitar players that dad auditioned.
Okay.
And Jack was a good guitar player. But he didn't get the job, unfortunately, and I'm not sure why. But I remember most people tap their foot, you know, from heel to toe. He was the other way, toe to heel.
Really?
Okay. And I'll never forget that. That guy's weird. Why does he tap his foot like that?
So is he kind of on the backbeat or something?
Yeah, like he tapped like this here.
Okay.
That's how he tapped. Yeah. Where most people tap like that.
Yeah.
And I just thought, I'd never forgotten that as long as I live. But he got all these different, dad got all these different guitar players in.
Oh,
Carl.
Wow.
Carl was the one that won the war, I guess, is because he played banjo, he played fiddle, played guitar. You know, and
any string instrument, Carl could play.
Yeah, that's great.
And he sang great harmony. And
yeah, he sang great harmony.
So just a three-piece then. Just
that's
the,
right.
Okay.
Yeah. So we started off on the road. Well, I guess we were on the road for two or 3 years.
We started in 1967 because I broke my ankle playing baseball.
I was saying 69.
Okay. Like it was 67 because I broke my ankle that year, and I cried like a baby because my daddy wasn't here. He was. I was playing baseball with bigger kids.
Yep.
Slid into second base, bust my ankle. And they said, where do you live? And I said, just down the road. Where's your dad? And then I started crying. Yeah. I said, my dad's not home. He's in a band and he's gone out of the world as far as that's concerned.
Yeah,
so I had to go down and get my mom and then went to the hospital. And yeah, I'll never forget that.
Wow.
I think you were in Berks Falls or someplace up north playing.
Oh, wow.
Because that's where you start.
Yep.
In all them northern towns,
you go on these crazy runs.
Oh yeah, used to play some of them towns up there, and you'd go out in the winter, especially.
Yep.
You'd go up to go to bed, and heat or no nothing. Yeah. You just couldn't wait.
So this was your full time job then? You were okay. So
because before that you worked at Savage Shoe.
Yeah,
okay.
And he was always singing, making shoes and singing. And
yeah,
everybody's saying, geez, Earl, why don't you quit this place and start singing? And no. And then you left Savage and you went to Greb Shoe. One thing about it, we always had good shoes. Dad always worked at, and he always had a position, like he was supervisor or foreman.
Okay, that's right.
And then you left Greb Shoe to go on the road.
Yeah.
Okay. And they bought him a suitcase and all that because they knew he was going on the road. That grabbed shoes in.
That's awesome. Okay.
Said goodbye.
Okay.
Here's your suitcase.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have fun.
But anyways, we worked in Toronto when we first started. We worked in Toronto for I think it was about 2 or 3 years, backing up all the groups.
Yeah.
Like I say, all the big names come into the Edsonville Hotel.
Okay.
And we worked there for. Had to be 2 or 3 years. and then we went on the road then.
Okay.
And went overseas. And,
oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Played the Vietnam War.
You're kidding. Wow.
Yeah.
Okinawa.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
That's amazing. Okay.
For a few times we had a duck. Yeah. Especially Cambodia.
Cambodia. Border. Okay.
Cambodia border. There's a river there. Well, we were playing, all of a sudden the lights went out. Here a couple of, we're trying to get across the river.
That's crazy. Okay.
They learned how to swim.
What a story.
Yeah.
And, yeah, they used to transport them from show to show in armored cars.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah. Yeah. That's something else.
Well, every night I sit here by my window, staring at the lonely avenue, watching lovers holding hands and laughing, thinking about the things we used to do, thinking about things. Like a walk in the park, things. Like a kiss in the dark, things. I like a sailboat ride. What about the night we cried, things? I like a lover's vow, things. That we don't do now, thinking about the things we used to do. Well, memories are all I have to cling to, and the heartaches are the friends I'm talking to. When I'm not just thinking how much I love you, well, I'm thinking about the things we used to do. Thinking about things like a walk in the park, things like a kiss in the dark, things like a sailboat ride. What about the night we tried, things like a lover's vow, things that we don't do now, thinking about the things we used to do. Jukebox softly playing, and the voice I hear each day belongs to you. Oh, there's not a single sound, and there's no one else around, but it's just to me think about the things we used to do. Thinking about things like a walk in the park, things like a kiss in the dark, things like a sailboat ride. What about the night we cried, things like a lover's vow, things that we don't do now, thinking about the things we used to do. A little strolling down the lonely avenue, I just thinking about the things we used to do. And the heartaches are the friends I'm talking to.
So would you be touring just for like 6 months at a time, or like would you have big long stints where you're gone from the
The longest I think was maybe 2 months when I went, when we went over to,
okay.
Other than that, we'd head to the East Coast and we'd be gone for maybe 3 weeks to a month or something like that.
You used to do a big circle.
Yeah.
He'd start maybe at the in Listowel, and then leave from there, and then they were gone, and they'd do all all the East Coast, and then come back and end up in Listowel again.
Yeah.
The Twin Gables, that was a popular spot for the chaparrals.
That's great.
They were lined around the building and up the street, matinees or nighttime shows.
Music was different back then.
Oh.
There was so much more stuff going on.
Well, so I remember being in Halifax or at Fleet Club, that's a Navy club there.
Okay.
And that was on a Sunday night. We played till 12 o'clock, packed up our stuff, took the boat across, and started in Listowel on Monday night.
Oh, wow. That's crazy.
He should have been a long-haul truck driver like I was. Maybe that's where I got it from.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, he's, Dad did 95% of all the driving.
Yeah.
Yeah, an old... an old Ford station wagon with that wood,
the panel,
that wooden panel.
That's awesome.
That and the trailer.
Yep.
Yeah. There we go. Let's go play.
It's like Chevy Chase and the
vacation. Same thing. Yeah.
So then you must have been doing 250 gigs a year or something then.
We were on.
Because back then you could play every night of the week. Like even on Monday night, there was bands playing places.
We played six nights. Well, no, we played seven nights when we'd go down to the East Coast. Because they used to have entertainment in Halifax and that. They had entertainment on Sunday. So you'd play 7 days and two matinees.
Yeah. I remember actually doing that myself at Tommy's place in downtown Kitchener.
Oh, Kitchener.
And just by Sunday night, you're just just dead.
Mush.
Yeah.
But,
well, tell them about, they did the Calgary Stampede for how many years?
Oh, wow.
10, 12 years?
9 years.
Good for you. Okay.
Yeah.
Tell them about them shows.
Oh, yeah. Them were.
Started.
We started at 10 o'clock in the morning, 10 to 12, down on Main Street.
Okay.
Did a radio show. Come back to the Calgary Inn where we used to play. Played outside for 2 hours, and then went to the Chinook Mall, played for 2 hours, then come back in.
Do it night.
And did the crowd, or the stamp, yeah, the, from 6 till 2.
Oh, you're kidding.
10 days straight.
And you started the first show at 10 a.m. and you finished the last show at that same day at 2 a.m.
Yeah.
Oh, you're kidding.
And that's moving equipment, and you know.
Yeah.
I was the only singer.
Oh, that's crazy.
There was only a trio. It was Carl, Freddie on drums, and myself on bass.
Okay, just the three pieces.
Lead singing.
Yep.
Oh, I'll tell you.
And you never missed a day.
Never missed a day. And so when I'd have a time during the day, I'd jump in the bathtub with hot water up to my neck.
Oh, yeah. That's, yeah. Did you fly out there, or were you on a tour that you actually drove out to Calgary? And?
Yeah, we drove to Calgary,
okay.
Yeah, with a fiddle player, Warhurst was his name.
Okay. Roy.
Yeah, Roy Warhurst. He was a real good fiddle player.
Yeah.
But we did that for 10 days.
Wow,
For 9 years and 10 days.
Yep.
Yeah, a lot of picking on that.
Oh, I bet. Yeah. Did you have an agent booking all this stuff for you, or were you guys doing
90%? We did. Yeah, 90%. The odd time an agent.
I remember when I was a kid, Dad would come home for a week, and him and Mom would sit down, and Dad would write up the whole year on a calendar and have the hotels that he was wanting to play, and he'd be on the phone for a day and book the whole year in one day.
Wow, okay.
And back in those days, you had to have contracts.
Yep.
So my mom would do all the contracts, and Dad would sign them, and away they went, and everything was all contracted. But he'd booked the whole year up, excluding the big tours. But he'd booked the whole year, all the hotels and all that stuff in one day.
That's crazy.
Called everybody, and of course they wanted, because it was always a sellout.
Yeah.
The crowds are always, you know, busy. Yeah, we'll take you. We'll take you four times. And Dad would bitter, you know, they'd want you three times or four times, and Dad's like, I can only give you three. Well, we'll pay you more if you give us four, and you know. So Dad wasn't stupid. Yep. He was a businessman too, eh?
But good for you.
He wasn't, there was no middleman. It was Dad and Carl and Fred. All the money came back to the Chaparrals.
Let me be a little kinder, let me be a little blinder to the thoughts of those about me. Let me crave a little more. Let me be when I'm weary, just a little bit more cheery. Take a little more of others, and a little less of me. Let me be a little braver, when temptation makes me waver. Let me strive a little harder, to be all that I should be. Let me be a little meeker, with the brother that is weaker. Let me think more of my neighbors and a little less of me. Let me be when I'm weary, just a little bit more cheery. Let me serve a little better those that I am striving for. Let me be a little meeker, with the brother that is weaker. Think a little more of others, and a little less of me.
bit more cheery. Let me serve a little better those that I'm striving for. Let me be a little meeker with the brother that is weaker. Think a little more of others and a little less of me.
Hi friends, Kevy Canuck here from Kitchener, Ontario, and you're listening to 102.7 CKMS Radio Waterloo.ca.
Yeah, it was, 13 years I was on the road. Yeah. And then I come home, and in the meantime, I got these guys, my three boys and my daughter, lessons. And they had a group called the Mini Chaparral.
Really? Okay, let's see. Okay.
Well,
I didn't know that.
He was playing upstairs at the Twin Gables.
Okay.
And a lot of times we were playing downstairs. And then Dad would bring us all up to play on the big stage, one or two songs, and then we'd have to go back down. We were doing some little parties or something down there. But it was probably three or four times that we were playing downstairs and he was upstairs.
So were you doing like the traditional old country and you were doing more of the...
No, we were doing the same
thing.
He was. Right. They were just better at it than us.
Okay, that's all right.
But we caught up.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, Mom used to drive us there. They had a 1965 or 67 Buick Wildcat.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And big Ford, a big old boat, you know. It was a nice car.
Like,
yeah. But it had a trunk you could put, you know, it had a, what they call a Montreal trunk. You could put a whole bunch of bodies in it, but it was all full of equipment.
Yeah.
But when them guys were taking, I made sure that they didn't. They weren't self-taught like me. I sent them the lessons. And I come home off the road one day, and my wife said, the boys want to talk to you. So, go downstairs. What do you boys want? Well, Dad, we like to stop playing. We're getting a little sick of it. We have to come home, and we got to do an hour of practice, and then we can do it. But we want to stop. I said, okay, that's fine. I'll be heading on the road. I'll be gone for, I think, 3 weeks or something. So I'm going to put something on your guitar. I'm going to put something on the bass, and I'm going to put something on the set of drums. And I'll know whether they've been played. Because I don't want you, if you can't play right, you're not going to play at all. Well, when I come home, they were all sitting waiting. Dad, we want to go back playing. Yeah, child psychology. And it turned out, he should have been a shrink too. It could have been the other way, you know what I mean? But it turned out and they all were...
That's great.
Fine musician.
Yeah, it was tough though, you know, because all the rest of the kids were knocking at the door, you know, Greg and Guy and talk them out and play, and you know, the famous last words, did you practice? And, no, we didn't do it yet. No, they can't go out.
Yeah.
And we had to do our practice before we could go out after school. And, you know, we hated him. One day I won't tell you what he said, but he said, one day you'll thank me. And, well, now we're thanking them. Well,
that's
a long time ago we started thanking them first.
So many people have said how hard it is to teach your kids, and I have four kids, and only my one son continued on with music.
With music, yeah. Yeah, we were lucky. And Dad's out of, how many children are in your family?
11.
11 kids? Wow. He's the only one who played.
Yeah.
Okay, and again, it's not because of your family, just because of your job on the farm that you...
Yep.
And he picked like up good pay.
People should take lessons, like them guys, you know, like...
Well, now it's so easy, you can just go on a telephone.
And everything's on YouTube and stuff.
But Dad used to have some of the biggest crowds at his house when they lived across from the Gulf Steakhouse there. Well, now it was the casino at the time. But he used to practice upstairs. Grandma and Grandpa had a two-story home there, which is still there. And he used to go up in the one bedroom up top in the summertime and practice. The windows would be open and all the kids would be in the front yard listening to him mocking me.
What a great story.
Yeah.
So I think before this interview you said you opened for, or you backed up a bunch of big name country stars.
Yeah.
Okay.
At the Edison Hotel.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, we did that for 2 years.
So were you sort of like the house band then?
Yeah.
And then, I think, did you say George Jones or Merle Haggard or something? Or?
Oh, yeah. Yep. All the big names used to come there. And some of them used to bring their guitar player. That was it. But most of them.
It was just
by themselves. And,
okay.
And we backed them up.
And you have to be really quick on your feet because they're going to, like, you don't, you probably know most of the stuff they're going to do, but they're going to throw some curveballs at you.
Oh,
too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but you didn't get what they do today. They'll send you a tape of what you want. They never gotten all that stuff.
Now you know how you play bass, and then you be muted. What chord was that?
Yeah. That's crazy. Good for you, though. That's amazing. So,
and then Dad used to bring some of them home to the house because he was the only one that had a home. Freddie lived in an apartment, I think, and Carl lived in an apartment. So Dad sometimes, you know, after the show, they'd say, do you want to come back to our place for a beer or a little bit of a party or whatever? Yeah. Well, then he'd get me and Guy up. Guy was playing piano at the time, and I was playing guitar. So we'd have to come down at 3 o'clock in the morning in our pajamas.
You're just getting your children.
And he'd make us play for him.
Okay.
I don't know if he thought maybe that was going to get us to Nashville or something. It didn't work. But
see, we used to do a lot of... at one time when a band would come in from the States and do the arena, you'd have to have a local band.
Okay, yeah.
The union made them do that.
Oh, really? Okay.
And 90% of the time, I got the job.
That's great.
So we used to bring a lot of the big names back to my cellar.
Yep.
Had some jams.
Oh, I bet.
So tell them about the time that you were playing the auditorium. And there was a bad short.
Yeah, I was playing the auditorium, and
who were you?
I was playing bass.
You were backing up. Who you guys were
I
warming
think
up
that
for somebody?
Was Cash,
Johnny Cash.
Oh, you're kidding?
It was Johnny Cash.
That's crazy.
Anyways, we did half a dozen numbers, and I was doing "Put Your Sweet Lips."
Oh, great.
A little closer to the floor, and that low note. You hit that low note. Well, I had the bass, and I touched the mic, and the bass touched
The mic stand. Yeah.
Mic stand blew the four strings right off the
You're kidding. Well, how's your lip? Did you still have a lip after that one?
Blew the four strings right off the guitar.
Okay. Yeah, that's unbelievable. That ended that song abruptly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, just about electrocuted himself.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was something else.
All right, here's a brief conversation where Earl reminisces about his friendship with Nashville country legend Mel Tellis.
We backed him up at Edison, and there were two fairs around here that we did up in Owen Sound. He was a great guy. Yeah, he passed away here last year, right?
Yeah.
A great writer.
Okay. Yeah, he wrote a lot of songs for a lot of guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was good. I Got the Horse, You Got the Saddle. Wow, it was a great song.
Yeah. Okay. He wrote Detroit City, too.
Oh, really?
And he told me about it.
For Bobby Bear?
He told me about it. He was in Detroit City. And he said he was sitting at a bar, and a guy come up and sat beside him, and he was working at the GM plant in Detroit. And he was saying about he wanted to go back home again. He pretty well, Detroit City, the song, he says you could pretty well, I wrote pretty well everything the guy said. He was sad and he wanted to go back home.
Yeah. I saw that song. Me and Lori got married in 76, October 76, and we went to Nashville for our honeymoon. And Dad says, here's his number, here's his phone number, this is where his recording studio is. And Dad let him know that we were coming down.
Yeah.
We went there to meet him, because he said, he'll show you the town and he'll show you a good time. Well, he got called out on some other star canceled on a tour, and he had to go on.
Oh,
so we got there thinking we're going to meet this guy, he's going to show us Nashville, so I never did get to meet him.
Oh, okay.
But...
Well, everybody knows you've been a-stepping on my toes, and I'm getting pretty tired of it. You've been a-stepping out of line, messing with my mind. You had any sense, you'd quit. But ever since you were a little bitty teeny girl, said I was the only man in this whole world. Now you better do some thinking, then you'll find you got the only daddy that'll walk the line. I keep a working every day, and all you wanna do is play, and I kinda staying out all night. I'm a coming unglued to your funny little mood, so honey, baby, that ain't right. Well, ever since you were a little bitty teeny girl, said I was the only man in this whole world. Now you better do some thinking, then you'll find you got the only daddy that'll walk the line. Everybody knows that you're still just a putting me on. When I start a walking, I don't want to hear you squawking and a begging me to come back home. Well, ever since you were a little bitty teeny girl, said I was the only man in this whole world. Now you better do some thinking, then you'll find you got the only daddy that'll walk the line. You got the only daddy that'll walk the line.
Kurtzville was always a good place for the Stars used to come to because it was a big arena.
Okay.
In Kurtzville. Yeah. We played Kurtzville. Well, that was with Ronnie Prophet.
Yeah.
We opened up for him.
That's great. Yeah, it's definitely mutual because you would go there for his show, and then he would, if Ronnie Prophet's touring, he would he would
what
see him.
What did Prophet do to us? Or he didn't want us to go on.
No.
Yeah.
I think he was worried about him.
Oh, okay.
He didn't want us to go on first.
Yeah.
We backed him up.
Okay, though, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And the other TV show you used to do, too, was that Ronnie Prophet show.
Yeah, we did that one... Country Time.
Yeah.
Really?
Country
okay.
Time.
Yeah, that was a good show. He had a good
show. The guy that plays guitar on Country Time, you okay. probably know him. Stan Taylor.
Stan, I don't know if I know that name.
Well, he used to play.
He's an East Coast.
With our band.
Oh, okay. Stan.
But he's from the East Coast.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, he played with us.
Well, he was, that's the band that Carl was with.
Yeah.
Carl left to come to play with you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
What the heck were they called? Not the Rhythm Heirs.
Yeah.
Is it the Rhythm Heirs?
Rhythm Heirs, yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
You guys should try to call the station or something out east and try to get some of the old footage, because they probably have an old tape
Rupert
or something.
There someplace.
Yeah.
Huh.
That'd be amazing to see
yeah.
that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I remember I was sitting at our house, and we watched him on TV.
Really?
Yeah, me and my family, mom and dad, mom and my brothers and sisters.
So that Ronnie Prophet show would have been a right across Canada on like CBC
yep.
or something like
yeah,
that?
It was CBC.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it was live. It wasn't taped.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember we were all excited.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah. Mom with her homemade freshie and homemade popcorn and all sitting there waiting.
Yeah, yeah.
There's dad, you know.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah. That's exciting stuff.
Yeah, and then I did another one down there and Stompin' Tom
okay.
was on.
Yep.
So we're in this schoolroom. The staff was having a meeting with us. Is this okay? Are you fine with this? Are you fine with that? And blah, blah, blah. Vern Don was on, too. Or,
not
Myrna Loy.
Yeah, Myrna Loy.
Myrna Loy.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they're all sitting there. And so the staff is going through, is it okay?
Yep.
You fine and stuff like that? And everybody said, yep. And all of a sudden, stomp the top. Farted.
Oh, you're kidding. That's good. That's kind of broke the ice, I guess.
But you know, it broke more than the ice. No shit. We went down together. Him and I went down the Halifax together. I had my suitcase, and he had a shopping bag with his clothes in it.
Oh, wow.
Paper.
Wow.
Yep. Just with the handle, with the tweed handle.
Shopping bag. Okay. I was his clothes.
And a bunch of moose head in the bag.
Oh, yeah.
Crazy.
He was a funny son.
I bet.
I'm telling you.
Did you, like, so you just played that one show that he was on, or did you do a little bit of a tour with him as well? Or
no, that was
just the one thing. Okay.
Yeah.
He's a legend, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
He was a funny guy, I'll tell you. He sure loved by Canadians. Some of the experiences you used to go through on the road.
Oh, yeah.
And but it was all, did a lot of the East Coast, and like I say, I did the Stampede for 9 years. So then I retired, when was my last gig?
Yeah.
But eventually you guys all kind of...
Yeah, what happened with the band is Carl got an opportunity to go play with the Good Brothers. So he talked to Dad about it, and Dad was getting ready to come off the road anyways. And in the back of his mind, he knew what he wanted to do. He wanted to bring... us kids,
yeah, for sure.
The last stint of his career playing. Yeah. And he was, you know, working at Cook Transport, driving a truck during the day and playing at night. And so Carl left first, and he asked me to come and join. And my first job with you was at the University of Waterloo, and Roy Werhurst come down to play.
That's right.
He come to play fiddle for
that. That was the name of that club, right on King Street.
It was actually at the University of Waterloo, and I was nervous because I was, you know, I could play rhythm a little bit, but that was it. I was no lead player by any means. But we stumbled through her, and the other one we did was the Grey Cup Parade in Toronto.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, and then we played the parade, and then we played in the Royal York because we were playing at Carl's Tavern.
That's right.
In Cambridge. That was another good bar. And so we had to pack all our equipment up, go to the stand, go to Toronto, play that, and then come back and set our stuff up and play that night.
Oh, you're kidding.
Oh, yeah. We
a lot of running around.
I bet.
Did you ever play Carl's Tavern?
No, I don't. Well, maybe if it was a different name, but I don't recall that name.
It's right on the corner of Eagle and 24.
Yeah. Okay, I don't think I've ever played that.
Yeah. It was a good bar.
Like, I played the Grand, and there was a few places in Galt, the Royal or something. I can't even think of the place. I know I played a couple places in Cambridge.
Yeah. Tell them some of them stories about recording after doing a whole night at Listowel and driving all the way to Toronto.
Toronto and then trying
to
record. Oh, yeah.
And pulling it off in one take. Then,
yeah.
Like, are you recording during the night then? Like late? Like, or the next day?
The next day.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah. So we did a whole album. I did a whole album, and it cost us $1,300.
Okay.
The whole album.
Yeah, but that would have been a lot of money, though.
One take.
Yeah.
Oh, that, you know.
Yeah.
One take. That was all it was. I think that whole album, I think I only did two songs over again.
Okay. Good for you.
And the musicians you never worked with.
That was the capital in Toronto.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Carl played lead by guitar, but the other musicians were studio
guys. Okay.
Yeah.
And then did something that you recorded at the Mercy Brothers, too.
Oh, well.
Studio.
Yeah.
Is that where you did the 45, Cornbread and Honey? Is that where you did that?
No,
was
that we did that in Toronto.
That one, it was way before its time.
The problem with that song, it was a good song, but it was, if I would do it today, it might catch on fire.
Yeah. Okay.
It was a good song.
Do you still have a copy of that, then, someplace, or?
Yeah, I think you've got the only one left.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I got the album here, and I got another 45 with She's Looking Good on it. Shady lane.
Well, you shouldn't talk about people that aren't here no more, but remember the time we played, we opened up for Jimmy Dickens?
Oh, yeah. Wow, okay.
That was up in, I think Durham, was it Durham?
Yeah, Durham. And he come out there all wound up.
Okay.
And then we did our show and got a real standing ovation and everything else. And he come up and he was all whiskeyed up.
Okay.
And he was doing his Mickey Mouse little thing or Mighty Mouse thing with a cape and everything else.
Yep.
And stumbling up and down the...
Oh, geez.
And they started booing him and Chaparral.
It was embarrassing.
Geez, it's time for us to leave because this is going to be some problems.
It's like in an arena.
Yep.
He was trying to tell jokes.
Yep.
Well, in an arena, it just doesn't...
Yeah, it doesn't work. Yeah.
It doesn't work, you know. And they started yelling, put on the chaperone. And we were backing them up, right?
Yep.
Yeah. That happened with the Good Brothers, too.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That was in St. Clements.
Yep.
Yeah. Embarrassing, isn't it? Kept us out of the dressing room anyways.
Yep.
No more Heineken for you.
Well, sometimes you're playing the stuff that they want to dance to. And they know every song that you guys are doing. We're maybe a bigger act. They might only know three or four songs or something.
Yeah, that was the son of a gun. But like I say, I've been around the world a few times.
That's great. Good for you with going to Vietnam and everything.
Yeah, I didn't have much of a family life, but Mom was, she was the backbone.
Yep.
She brought us all up and
I bet.
Gave us a slap when we needed the slap. Yep. And then she had a book that she kept, a ledger, especially when we was gone for the longer trips. She'd have Greg, Guy, Todd, Sharon, and then all the stuff that you did bad. So then when he'd come home, like usually Sunday morning early.
Flip to the book?
We'd be all on the front porch and then... We'd get the roll call. Greg, I was first, of course, because I was the oldest. So why'd you do this, and this, and this, and this? And you didn't practice, and you didn't do that. And you know, this is what you're going to get for doing what you did.
Uh-huh.
And then call Guy in, and call Todd in. But we all had our turn, eh? But Mom kept us in line, I'll tell you.
Oh, yeah.
She made sure that there was bread and butter on the table did what she did with the money that Dad used to send home to her. And she made a nickel turn into a dime real quick, I'll tell you. She had 3,000 recipes on ground beef.
Did she work outside of the home then?
No.
So stay at home?
She was a seamstress.
Oh, okay.
At home. And she was very, very good at it. And all the neighbors, you know, come to her for fixing stuff.
Yeah.
She did full bridal wedding gowns. And,
okay.
Yeah.
That's a real talent.
Yeah, she was good at it. She got that from her mom.
Hmm.
Yeah. But we were talking about Dad never losing his voice, and he did once, and that was we were playing the Stampede Ranch.
Yeah, could be, yeah.
Yeah, and it was a Friday night, and he couldn't do her. And we hired Al Widmeyer.
Okay.
He come out.
Yep.
And did a great job. Did a great job.
Yep. And he plays so many different instruments.
I'm
sure he brought a...
At that time, he just did... rhythm.
Okay.
And was just the lead singer.
Yeah, okay.
Just follow the stairways to this lonely world of mine. You find me waiting here in apartment number 9. Not so very long ago, you walked away from me. And after all the plans we made, you decided to be free. Loneliness surrounds keep waiting in this lonely room, just in case you change your mind. You find me waiting here in apartment number 9.
Well, it was quite a life, and I enjoyed every minute of it, but I used to miss the family then.
Oh, yeah, no, for sure.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, well, it's nice that you were able to play with your kids, though, over the years,
yeah.
Too. That's great.
Yeah, that was a bonus.
And then even the Rod and Gun and the Naval Club, like, you get to see, you know, so many friends and family come out to those things.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a big plus.
Yeah.
What I find is, too, like, there's so many people you've probably met over just because of music. Like, you know, you would have met so many friends and stuff, you know.
Oh, yeah. You'd be on the road there, and like I say, remember being on the road, and, you know, you'd be playing at a place for 2 weeks or something like that. That's what it used to be. You used to play 2 weeks, you know. And some of the people would say, "Well, you guys been on the road, you know. Why don't you come to our place for supper on Sunday?"
Yeah.
You know, if we'd be at a place for 2 weeks. First couple of times, I said, yeah. Then we got a couple of meals. So you didn't want to even walk in the door.
Oh, okay.
You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. No more of that.
Yeah, you have to kind of watch what you
do. You know what I mean?
Yep. You must have had some nights where you could hardly drive. Like, just, you'd be so exhausted at the end of the show. And if you're, you know, couple hours away from where you got to be, you must be, you know, falling asleep at the wheel.
Well, like I say, I come from Halifax right to
Lisbon. Okay.
One shot.
And you're the only driver, you said?
Yeah.
Oh, that's crazy.
Didn't trust the other ones.
Yeah. I should ask, when you got married, did you have to kind of reorganize your wedding date around the gigs?
Sort of, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. In fact,
got married on like a Tuesday morning or something?
No, it was on the weekend.
Okay.
Yeah. That's where mom met him.
Yeah, it was at the casino. Yeah,
she was there dancing with a bunch of friends. Yeah. And Dad was up there playing.
Yep.
Wow, okay. That's neat.
Just happened.
Wow. So, so how many years have you been married then?
65.
Oh, wow. That's a big mess, then.
Yeah, I just...
Yeah.
You'll be 65 in March.
Yeah.
Okay.
In March.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had that discussion the other day, didn't we?
And Mom says most of them happy.
Yeah, because my daughter was at the house. We couldn't figure it out, so she phoned Greg at work. He could drive a truck. Asked him how old he was.
I told him.
Okay. Are you you're the oldest of the...
Yeah.
Okay.
Not the smartest, but I'm the oldest.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, me and Guy are 10 months apart.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Mom had a private room, I guess.
Yeah.
At the hospital. Because that didn't take long for the second one. And then Todd and then Sharon.
Okay. Yeah. That's great when you grow up close together like that.
Yeah.
Because you guys become best friends.
Yeah, that's what a guy said to me when I had... him. I'm sitting there and I said, the guy's sitting beside me, I said, "You got any kids?" He said, "Yeah, I got three." I said, "Something I want to ask you." He said, "What's that?" I said, "How long do you have to wait till that?" He said, "Depends whether you're in a ward or a private room."
Okay. crazy. All right, we pretty much ran out of time this week, but stay tuned for next week's episode where we're going to continue talking to Earl and Greg Fries and their adventures with the Chaparrales. We're going to leave with one more song of Earl. He recorded a song by Johnny Gore. It's called I Won't Be a Cheater Anymore. Till next time, it's Steve Todd. Thanks for listening to Musicians FAQ.
Lately, when I see you, your eyes are looking my way. And I've a feeling there's something you want to say. But let me give you warning, for mine's a heart that's pain. And that's the way that cheaters are made. And I won't be a cheater anymore. I've paid the price for cheating once before. I've stared at empty closets and I've walked the lonely floor. No, I won't be a cheater anymore. Yes, it would be like heaven just to hold you for a while. And you could probably steal my heart away. But after we had drank the wine and raised the morning shades, we'd realize two cheaters had been made. And I won't be a cheater anymore. I paid the price for cheating once before. I stared at empty closets and I walked the lonely floor. No, I won't be a cheater anymore. No, I won't be a cheater anymore.
Hi, it's Greg and Earl Fries from the Chaparrales, and you're listening to 102.7 CKMS, RadioWaterloo.ca.